This is session number 37 of the Gospel according to John. Today, we come to John chapter 5, and we're going to be looking at least verses 5 through 9. So, as we said before, John 5, this is Jesus' ministry of controversy and opposition really starts here. And it's all going to be triggered based off of this healing that he's about to do that we're going to see here. And we saw the backdrop last time to this healing in verses 1 through 5. And so today let's pick it up in verse 5 and we'll read through verse 9 and then we'll go back and comment. John 5:5, and a certain man was there. This is at the pool of Bethesda, which is by the sheep market in Jerusalem. A certain man was there which had an infirmity 38 years. Verse 6, when Jesus saw him lie and knew that he had been now a long time in that case, he saith unto him, wilt thou be made whole? The impotent man answered him, Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. Jesus saith unto him, Arise, take up thy bed and walk. And immediately the man was made whole, and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. So last session we looked at this backdrop of this place, Bethesda, and the five porches, and all the multitude of impotent folk that are there laying. And what we saw is they're all laying there helpless, but they have a little bit of a hope. Because in verse 4, it told us that an angel went down at a certain season into the pool, and he troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after the troubling of the water, stepped in was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. So we saw these people have been reduced to hoping that only at some certain season, once in a great while, will an angel show up and hit the water, trouble the water. And if you can be the first lucky one to get in after the water's been troubled, but only one, there's only enough healing power for one person at a time, then you can have your lucky miracle. We just looked at this, and I really don't see this as the work of God. I don't see this as a good angel doing a good work here. Even though somebody's getting healed, it just doesn't look like the handiwork of God here. It looks like a different kind of spirit. But praise the Lord, in verse 6 through 9, Jesus is going to show up. And this man who's been lying there helpless and hopeless for a long time is going to have hope, and he's going to have help this day, because he doesn't have to wait for an angel to show up, trouble the water, and maybe hopefully somehow he can get in. No, Jesus is going to show up. And everything is about to change. Because when Jesus shows up, everything changes. Verse 6 says, when Jesus saw. You know, I like that. When Jesus saw, Jesus sees. Jesus sees. When Jesus saw him. Amen. Jesus doesn't just see. He sees us. When Jesus saw him lie. See, he sees us in our misery. He sees us in our helplessness. He sees us in our despair. When Jesus saw him lie and knew, amen, he knows. And he knew that he had been now a long time in that case. You know, he knows how long. He knows how hard. Jesus knows. There's a lot of people on this earth that have been in some rough cases for a long time. And I want you to know that Jesus knows. He knows how hard it's been. Been now a long time in that case. In that case, okay? So obviously the situation he's in. But I like this. He knew how long he had been in that case. And I'm just going to throw this thought out there. You know, when you go to trial before a judge, you bring a case to trial. There's a certain situation, and there's a case. And you're hoping that you can get closure on that case and an answer to that case. And obviously, we're hoping the judge will rule in our favor. You know, it says he'd been a long time in that case. Again, it just reminds me of a court of law. And you know what's interesting is when we read the scriptures, we see that God is the judge. We see that heaven is not just a place of worship, but it's almost like a courtroom. God sits on a throne as the judge. And there's many cases that are being brought before the judge. And your prayer is that your case will be brought before the judge and will be ruled on. And Jesus knew. He saw this guy lying there and he knew he'd been a long time in that case. You know, this guy's been in a case. He's been waiting for a ruling. Nothing's been happening. But Jesus shows up and God the judge is about to rule in this case. Now we're going to see there's a reason why he's been stuck in this case for a long time. And that's one of the things we see. Sometimes there's reasons why things are not being answered in heaven or why things have to be held up. Okay? Dealing with a throne room. Dealing with a God who's a judge on a throne. But praise the Lord, Jesus shows up. And it says, he saith, okay, you better listen up when Jesus Christ speaks. He saith unto him, amen, hallelujah, he saith unto him. Jesus is about to speak to him directly, to him personally. Praise the Lord when he shows up and he speaks to us directly. And here's what Jesus says. And this is pretty common with Jesus. He says, wilt thou be made whole? One of the things we see about Jesus is Jesus is a lot of times asking people questions. Asking questions, searching hearts. Wilt thou be made whole? Jesus is always testing and trying the hearts of men. That's his job. We're going to see later in this chapter that God isn't the only judge, but actually God has given all judgment. The Father has given all judgment to the Son. So Jesus also, as God, the Son, he also is a judge. Wilt thou be made whole? Ask this guy a question. I like this. Let's look through this again. Wilt thou. Okay, it's Old English, wilt, but it basically means will you. Jesus is testing this man's will. He's trying his will. What do you really want? Okay. Where is your will? This is an issue of the will. This whole miracle here is an issue of the will. Last miracle was an issue of faith. It's an issue of the heart. This miracle is going to be an issue of the will. Wilt thou be? I like this. Jesus comes to change our state of being. Jesus deals with our state of being. He doesn't just deal with our circumstance, our situation, our surrounding. That's not what Jesus deals with. Because if Jesus just changes those things, but he doesn't change our state of being, well, then eventually we're going to find ourselves back in the same type of circumstance or situation because our state of being did not change. However, if Jesus deals with the state of being, even if he doesn't change the circumstance, surrounding, and situation, if he changes us, all of a sudden we're going to find circumstance, situation, and surrounding is going to change because our being has been dealt with. Wilt thou be made? Wilt thou be made? Again, God is a creator. He makes. He forms. You know, in John 8, it doesn't say that the truth will set us free. I know some new Bibles say that, but that's not what it says. It says the truth shall make us free. Jesus is dealing with our being and making. He makes us into something new. He doesn't just set us loose like a wild caged animal. He makes us. Wilt thou be made whole? And again, what we're going to see is Christ's work, his handiwork, the handiwork of the Father is to make us whole. The end goal is not to break us, but to make us whole. That's the end goal of the gospel, is that we'll be restored and made whole. so that we can bring the full glory to God, so we can be fully reconciled to Him. God's goal is not to break us. That's not the end goal, although often God does have to break us. God is nigh unto them of a broken heart. Save us such as be of a contrite spirit. Often we have to be broken because He's not going to build on the wrong foundation. So often we got to be broken down to nothing. But that's not His end goal. That's not His desire. His question is, wilt thou be made whole? I love it. That's His end goal, is to make us whole. And remember, let's remember as we move forward, He's testing this man's will. Now, verse 7, the impotent man answered Him. Okay, now what we're about to see is we're about to see the impotent man's response. We're about to see his response, his outward response. But I don't believe this is necessarily the hope that's deep inside of him. We're just going to see his response. And again, this is the impotent man's response. This isn't the new man in Christ's response. It's the impotent man. Okay, what's his response? Sir. Okay, so he doesn't know Christ as Lord yet. He doesn't even know his name. He doesn't even know who it is. We'll see this later. Sir, I have. Okay, so wrong perspective already. He's looking at what he is. I have no man. Okay, sir, I have no man. Okay, you better believe it. He's got no man. You better believe it. Man will fail you. Man is unable. I have no man. So he is in a really bad situation right now that looks hopeless, but actually he's in a really good situation right now because it's exactly the situation he needs to be in so that Christ can move in and do something. Because if he had a man to help him, then why does he need Jesus? But I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. So again, I have no man when the water is troubled, when the stars align, when everything comes just right, to put me, see, he's helpless. He needs someone else to help him. He needs someone else to help change his position. To put me, changing position. He can't change his own position. I have no man when the water's troubled to put me into the pool. Look at how sad and restricted, sinful, desperate man's vision and hope becomes. Look at how sad and restricted, sinful, desperate man's vision and hope becomes. Jesus says, wilt thou be made whole? And his response is, sir, I have no man when the water's troubled to put me in the pool. But look at this. Because this is a man who, as more and more time goes on, and his miserable situation has not improved, but it's slowly gotten worse, look at his vision. Look at his hope. Look at how sad it is. His only hope is that someone will come and put him in a pool. That's his hope. His only hope is that some man, another man, could take him and put him into a pool of water. It almost reminds me of a baptismal. But look, I know we still baptize in water, but look, if your only hope is that some other man puts you in a pool of water, and hey, I was put in the pool of water, I'm good now, you do not get the gospel. You don't understand it. This is really sad. His only hope is that after some random angel will randomly show up in a blue moon and trouble the water, that maybe somebody else could take him and put him in this pool of water. That's his hope. Listen, this is not what God made man to be. This is not what God made man to be. God did not create man so that his entire focus would be reduced to himself and his miserable situation. So his entire focus would be reduced to himself and his miserable situation, and that his only hope would be that another man will come and do something for him that he can't do for himself. This is not what God created man to be. It's just really sad. It's really sad. Jesus just said, wilt thou be made whole? And he just goes right into his reason why he's got no hope. And yet he's still talking about this hope, and what a pitiful hope. I don't say this to look down on this guy, but I say this for us to take an honest assessment of how far has man fallen from what God created man to be. And look at how far he's fallen. And look at how hopeless he is. And it's time for us to realize We need to stop looking at things through our own perspective and looking at things for just how it affects us and looking at our own desperate situation. We need to turn back to the Lord. Turn back to what His vision is, what His purpose is, what His ways are, what His perspective is. Start getting in on that. And he continues, he says, but while I'm coming, another steppeth down before me. See, but while. So again, there's a reason for why he has no hope. Every man's always got a reason for why he thinks the way he does. While I'm coming. Again, he wants to be first. You know, he wants to be first. And because he's first in his own mind, and he probably only thinks about himself, then he's the one who deserves to be first, but he's the one who never is first. That's kind of the way it works. When it's all about you, it never seems to really work out for you. As long as you put yourself first, you never seem to be first. While I'm coming, so this is me. While I'm coming, another. You know those lazy, other, selfish people that need to get healed? What's the matter with those people? They should know this guy needs to get healed. Another steppeth down. It's interesting. Steppeth down. He's got to go down to get this healing. Another steppeth down before me. See this guy? It's all about him. It's all about me. Literally, this one little verse, you see I, me. You know, God forbid someone else should get healed before him. You know, he's never like, oh, look, you need a healing. Why don't you get blessed? Praise the Lord, that guy got healed. You see how the misery and the bondage of sin and what the devil brings and what man buys into, how it just reduces this dog-eat-dog world and reduces people to so selfish and it's just them and they're just waiting for their lucky miracle and their lucky day. And they'll push people out of the way and they'll jump in front of them. I mean, look at, he's not rejoicing that he's seen, you know, 37 other people get healed in these 38 years. He's just miserable he hasn't gotten healed. Someone steps down from me and look at the other people. Why don't they look at this guy and go, you know what, this guy's been here 38 years. Let him get his chance this time. No, they don't think like that. That water gets troubled. Man, it's run for it. First one in. Bam, healing. Yeah, see you guys later. You know, this is not what God created man to be. When I read this passage, it's troubling. You know, it really is. And the fact that they're waiting for this random angel to come trouble the water, it just troubles me. You know, this is not the ways of the Lord. But praise the Lord, amen. Praise the Lord that man's misery and man's bondage and man's selfishness is not the end of man, because Jesus Christ showed up. 2,000 years ago, Jesus Christ showed up. And they didn't have to wait. Man doesn't have to wait for some random angels at some random seasons or some random troubling or some random baptismal pool or some random anointing oil. They don't have to wait for something like that. Jesus Christ showed up. The Son of God with all power in heaven and earth. And you know what? Jesus asked this man a question and he doesn't even answer the question. He doesn't even answer it. You know, just some extra analysis here, okay? The misery of man in brokenness and poverty without God. Poor people without God become consumed with self, consumed with their own need. No generosity, no goodwill towards other. Dog eat dog, first come, first serve. And they're dependent on others to help them, have absolutely no hope without some other man. And they completely lose perspective or purpose or usefulness in the situation they're in. They can't even see that. Their only hope, their desperation is to get out of that situation. And you know what I'm going to say? This is my extra analysis here. I think God actually waited until this man finally lost all hope in man and the pool. I really believe that. And I can't prove that. But when Jesus asked him, "Wilt thou be made whole?" His story goes right to the fact that he's got nobody to put him in the pool. Because I think for 38 years, or 37 and a half years, This guy was still hoping, maybe, a little bit in the back of his mind, somebody's going to show up and wait there with him and until that water's troubled and put him in that pool. And that magic pool is going to heal him and everything's going to get better. And I think God waited until finally, after 37 and a half years, maybe for these last few months, he finally realized, I have no hope. Nobody's ever going to show up and put me in that pool. And I think probably right around then, right when he finally got to that point, realized, I don't have any hope of this thing happening, that's when Christ showed up. Amen? That's how Christ usually works. He waits until we literally have absolutely no hope left in ourselves, left in anybody else, left in any kind of random miracle, special, whatever. Look at, you know all the special things that if only you had this thing, or if only you had that thing, or if only you had this special drink, or this special smoothie, or this special shake, or this special oil, or this special this or that. Till you finally get to where there's no hope, no help, nothing, then Jesus will show up. The real Jesus Christ will show up. And again, something else about miserable man, this man never answered Christ's question. You know, when you leave people to themselves in their desperation, they truly lose the ability to listen to others. They are trapped in their own mind and thinking. This man is so trapped in his own mind and thinking. Jesus asks a question, doesn't even answer the question. Just jumps right to his response. But here's what I really think, okay? And I think this is important. I think that Jesus saw past this man's hopelessness. He saw past this man that the fact this man had no faith left that anything could ever change. No faith. By the way, we're going to see miracles do not depend on faith. Sometimes they do, but they don't necessarily have to depend on faith. Because this miracle is not an issue of faith. This is not an issue of belief. This is an issue of the will. And I think Jesus saw past man's hopelessness. He saw that deep down inside, this guy still really wanted to be whole. He really did. Deep down, his will, he wanted it. The fact that he's talking about this stuff still is proof. Deep down, he wants to be made whole. And even though he'd probably never confess it anymore, you know, a lot of times people bury their true feelings and desires deep inside because they don't want to talk about it. It makes them vulnerable. It brings back those emotions of sorrow and hurt and anger and all those things associated with the long misery. So they just have ways of talking about things and changing the topic just to get through the conversation. But I think Jesus sees past all this and he sees deep down there's a really lonely, wounded human being here who's finally come to realize he has no hope in anybody else. And he has no hope in that magic pool. And maybe he doesn't even have any hope as far as he's concerned. But still deep down, he really wants to be made whole. This miracle is a miracle about the will. Wilt thou be made whole? So watch this in verse 8. Even though the man doesn't have the faith to believe, even though he doesn't have the hope that Jesus is going to do anything for him, you know, it's not like the last miracle where that nobleman came knowing Christ had the power to heal him. Now, he was confused about how it had to happen, but he knew Christ had the power to heal him. He was saying, man, you got to come down to my son. You can heal my son. He knew that. No, this guy doesn't even know who Jesus is. No hope, no faith, but he's still got a will that really wishes that he wasn't what he is. You know what? The Lord sees this. And so in verse 8, we're going to see the power of Christ and his word. In verse 8, Jesus saith unto him. Amen. You know what? The word of Jesus Christ trumps all our thoughts, all our words, all our reasoning, all our thinking, all of our perspective and our vision and what we can envision and see. Christ's word trumps all of that. Jesus saith unto him, rise. Rise. Hallelujah. John 11, 23 and 25, he's going to say, I am the resurrection and the life. Later in this chapter, in John 5, verse 25 and 28 through 29, he's going to say, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. going to say, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice and shall come forth. They're going to hear his voice and they're going to rise. He looks at this guy, he goes, rise. Jesus saith unto him, rise. The power of Christ's word. Rise above your misery. Rise above your perspective. Rise above your vision. Rise above your hopelessness. Rise above your disability. Rise above your sin. Rise, man. Christ looks at him, rise. Take up thy bed. You know, quit lying there helpless. Quit lying there helpless. Take up thy bed. He's given this impotent man power to rise up and lie in his misery no more. He says, rise, take up thy bed. You can take up, man, personal responsibility. You take it up. It's thy bed. It's your bed. You take it up. Take up thy bed and walk. Christ calls him to get up and leave his misery and his old life behind. Hallelujah. Christ is giving him the power to begin the walk of faith, to begin the walk of fellowship, to begin the walk of obedience. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. Christ's word and his authority is able to grant what no man, no angel, no pool of water could ever do for us. Christ's word, Christ's power, Christ's authority. Listen, if you're waiting for some special angel or some special miracle or a baptismal pool, some magic pool of water, some magic elixir, some magic oil, or some magic potion, if that's what you're hoping for, you need to get to know Jesus Christ. Because his word can do what no man and no magic elixir and no magic pool could ever do. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And you know what it says in verse 9? And immediately, I love it. When Jesus Christ heals somebody, there's no partial miracle. There's no partial healing. It's no like, well, 5% and then 10% and then 30% and then 70% and then 90%. When Christ does it, it's immediate. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately, it's instant. Immediately, the man was made whole. Hallelujah. Christ makes him into something new. Makes him into something complete. This is Christ's work. Christ works in the business of wholeness. That's why he's called a holy God. That's why Jesus Christ is called the Holy One. Because he is here to make us whole. He's here to make us holy. Immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. Amen? It's exactly what Jesus commanded. It happens exactly as Jesus Christ commanded. It's so cool because Christ's word not only gave him the power and the authority to do this, but Christ's word was also prophetic. Literally, exactly what Jesus Christ said is exactly what happened. Rise, take up thy bed, and walk. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. I love it. I love it. See, Christ is not into situation and circumstance. Yes, he sees our situations. Yes, he sees our circumstances. Yes, he understands our misery. He knows. He sees. It's true. But his business is not in changing that. His business is in changing us. It's in changing our state of being. Wilt thou be made whole? And what he wants to do is he doesn't want to change our circumstance, our situation, our job, all that. He wants to change us. He wants to make us whole. And in changing us and in making us whole, all of a sudden we're going to find our situation, our circumstance, all those things that troubled us, all of a sudden those are going to change. Because he's going to give us the power to rise, take up our bed, and walk. That's the end of that story. Although it's not the end of that story, there's one little last piece of information. It should end there. Should be a blessing. There should be a day of rejoicing. But there's one little last piece of information. And John gives this because this is part of the basis of what's going to form this controversy, conflict, and opposition that we're going to read about in next session in the next few verses. And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And then here's the last piece of information. And on the same day was the Sabbath. On the same day was the Sabbath. So when this happened was on the Sabbath day. So again, remember the Feast of Pentecost is the day after the Sabbath. So it's very good possibility Jesus headed up there the day before. So this is the Sabbath right before Pentecost. Or this could literally be Pentecost, and the day of Pentecost was a holy convocation. It was like a Sabbath day. Could be either. But the point is, it's the Sabbath day. Now, if you look in the scriptures and you study the Sabbath properly, the Sabbath was to be a day of rest. Day of rest. It was supposed to be a day of rest and blessing for man. And could you think of any greater rest or blessing that could have come to this impotent man who had been sitting there for 38 years with no hope and no help? Come on. This man finally, on the Sabbath, because of Jesus Christ, the one who made the Sabbath and the one who made man and the one who came and can restore man, this man can finally enter into the rest of restoration right on the Sabbath day. Isn't that perfect? What better day would there be? And so this should be a blessing and a rest and a restoration, and glory should go to God for this thing. And praise the Lord. What better day for this man to enter his rest than the Sabbath day? But we're going to see that the religious leaders, the Jews, they don't think the same way. They don't see things through the eyes of God. They don't see things through the love and compassion towards man and to see man be restored and healed. That's not how they're viewing things. And so next time, we're going to see the Jews' conflict, controversy, opposition, and hatred of Jesus Christ because this man was healed on the Sabbath day. It's John chapter 5, verses 5 through 9. Amen.